Blog Talk
What
Radio.
Up, America?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
That's right. Start
go,
the show.
There it is.
Here we go.
They're not ready, y'all. They're not ready.
Here we go.
I gotta fix that. Yes, sir.
That's all good. Talking sports with the 12th man. Do not adjust your radio. This is what we do pretty much every Tuesday or so. We are ready to kick it off. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host. They're not going out social media and partying after getting this promise of starting job, guys. They're going to keep it for real. Let's go ahead and kick it off with, first and foremost, Mr. JQ, Jaquan Jenkins. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. You can tell the fire department they can back off. You don't need the ladder. You don't need the net below. I'm not going to jump off the ledge after this past week of football because I was close. I was close to jumping.
We're just happy that Jake JQ is still here. He's calm. You know, we're going to use this as a good session. And without further ado, my other co-host, Mr. Robert Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Got this CrossFit workout in the night. Feeling good, man. Ready to get this party started.
All right, Rob, we love it, man, because we keep seeing you posting pictures of food, man. It's always good to do that, man. So, anyway.
You got to have balance. If you're going to eat good, you better work out.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're having some fun, fellas. All right, America, for those who want to reach out to us, calling the show, first and foremost, the number is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also on Twitter. If you go to our Twitter handles at 12th Man Sports, that's one way. And then finally, in the social media space on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us as well. So, gentlemen, let's kick this off. I always like to tie in a nice little joke before we kick off the show. And this is not a joking matter for Manziel. He's been relegated to third string. Unfortunately, this guy just can't get out of his way. He was promised a starting job, and the next thing you know, there's some rumors or pictures of him on the internet partying, which is not probably the right thing. Rob, what do you think about this? I'm going to kick off with you because I know, JQ, I'm going to keep you going second here. But, Rob, what do you think about this scenario?
Man, I tell you, Manziel is the new Tim Tebow, man. He's on our show every week, huh? just last week they just gave him a starting job for the last 6-7 weeks of the season. Now he's being demoted to third string. Johnny Manziel obviously needs to keep a low profile. I mean, I've seen a lot worse, of course, regarding the video. But obviously the off the field antics of Johnny Manziel is weighing heavy on the coach of the Browns and the entire organization of the Browns. They want him to be more professional off the field as well as on the field as well. And so he just got to learn to keep a low profile because whatever he does just seems to pop up on social media. I've seen a lot worse of the video, but at the same time, I think he has to keep a low profile based on, where he's been here in the last 2 to 3 years and things of that nature with off the field antics, and they just don't believe he can be a professional at this current time. I don't know how long his demotion is going to be, and I think this move right here officially tells us the Cleveland Browns are going to be looking for another quarterback this offseason, whether it's through free agency, whether it's through trades, whether it's through the draft. You're going to look to see them get another quarterback this offseason.
JQ, is Johnny Manziel going to the Ryan Leaf School of Football? What's going on, sir?
Yeah, I'm popping champagne like I wanted to check this shit brag. He's clowning. I mean, he needs a he needs a life coach, really is what he needs. He needs a life coach. And it's sad, and we talked about in the beginning that he had to get his life together first, and he still hasn't done it. And you can't be in the middle of the dance floor with a Dom P in front of somebody's camera when you just came back from rehab in the off season and you just got pulled over for fighting your girlfriend and really getting away with a DUI and not going to jail. He really should have went to jail that night. So, you know, he's been given so many chances and just unable to take advantage of it. And I totally agree with Rob. This is the nail in the coffin, I think, for him in Cleveland. They're going to have to find another quarterback. I just don't know what else you can say about it. He clearly has some demons that he has to get addressed before he can even talk about being an NFL quarterback in any capacity. So, you know, it's sad to see just from a, you know, a human standpoint of just unable, like you said, unable to get out of his own way. And, again, you know, I have a lot of love for the Cleveland fans there in my division. But, mercy, they have to feel like they are just, you know.
Snake bit.
Yeah, you know, it's, they can't catch a break when it comes to these things, especially with the quarterbacks. I mean, you've seen the guy with the jersey without the quarterback names going down the back of it. It's really sad, and they are no closer to finding a long-term solution at quarterback than they were a couple years ago when they drafted him.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of weigh in on this, two guys. And I think the question is, you know, and I guess we could talk. I mean, do we think that Manziel has some talent? I think he's got some talent. And I wonder if it's going to be kind of like Brett Favre where, you know, maybe he goes to that draft or getting cut like a Chris Carter and then him kind of, though this is a wake-up call. And maybe he does run into Brett Favre later on once he matures. I think he's got some talent, guys. But like you said, right now, it's a sad thing. And Robert, you hit the nail on the head. Cleveland is definitely going to look for a quarterback because they haven't figured it out yet. So, you know, I don't know if there's any franchise quarterbacks. I'm sure we'll talk about that as we get closer to the draft. Guys, but do we think that Manziel has some talent, Rob? Is he a little bit, you think, or no?
Well, you know, obviously Manziel was a great college quarterback, and I think that's the gist of it, similar to Tim Tebow. Obviously not the championship quarterback Tim Tebow was, but I just, you know, even when we're doing our draft evaluations here a year or two on Manziel, I just didn't think he was an NFL quarterback, and he's not helping himself with his off-the-field antics and his lack of professionalism.
What about you, JQ? I'll let you finish on that real quick.
Yeah, well, you know, when after that first Virginia Tech game for Ohio State, they had the "Fail for Cardale" slogan going there in Cleveland. So I'm wondering if they're going to try to revisit that in the second or third round this year because, I totally agree, and that's a great analogy you come up with Chris Carter, having to be cut and basically having to hit rock bottom before he makes a decision. I'm either going to make this work for me and make a change in my life, or I'm just going to fall by the wayside. And I hate that it has to come down to that for him, but I think he is definitely at that point. I don't know if he ever gets away from the third-string quarterback at this point. I just don't. In Cleveland.
Interesting. All right. Good deal. All right. We'll see how that plays out, fellas. All right. Rob, let's set the NFL playoff picture, if you don't mind, sir. It's going to be interesting here right now. Man, two undefeated teams, the Patriots, Panthers, Arizona Cardinals playing good. Rob, go ahead and set the stage, if you will, for the playoff picture, sir.
Yeah, let's start with the AFC. You just talked about the New England Patriots right now. They will be the number one seed at 10-0, I'm sorry. And, of course, JQ's Bengals will be the number two seed at 8-2. Denver, 8-2, will be the 3 seed. Indy at 5-5 will be the 4 seed. Pittsburgh will be the first wild card at 6-4. And the rising Kansas City Chiefs, look out for them. They're playing outstanding here the last 3 to 4 weeks. And they've worked their way up into that 6th seed with a 5-5 record. You still have the Texans, the Bills, and the Jets all at 5-5 as well on the outside looking in at the moment. Obviously, the Texans are tied with the Colts, but the Colts are on a tiebreaker as we speak for that AFC South. So that'll be interesting to watch in the AFC. In NFC, Carolina just seems like they're getting better as the season going along. They're 10-0 as well, number one seed in the NFC. Arizona, the number two seed at 8-2. Green Bay moved back into the 3 spot at 7-3. The Giants at 5-5 is leading the NFC East. You have the Vikings at 7-3 at the 5th spot. And the Falcons holding down the number 6 spot at 6-4. So there you have it, the playoffs picture as we speak.
JQ, any comments about that, sir?
Yeah, he's hit up the head on, you know, giving us the rundown. So I want to look at, you know, the teams on the outside looking in. And real quiet, like, the Houston Texans are playing fantastic defense and making a run at it. And yeah. that division is there from the win with Matt Hasselbeck starting for Indy. I mean, Atlanta gave them that game. There's no other way to put it, with just a terrible decision by Matt Ryan. Or you could have Houston sitting there, you know, in the fourth spot. And then as you go over to the NFC, I talked about it, and I'm going to keep tooting my own horn, beat. Those Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 5-5 on the outside looking in right behind Atlanta.
Wow.
And Atlanta has to go to Tampa Bay later in the season. And Seattle, you know, just treading water back there also at 5-5. So Atlanta, it has to look over their shoulder, so to speak. And that game this week between Atlanta and Minnesota is going to be probably the second best game of the week outside of Denver and New England.
Yeah. And, guys, I know we're going to talk about this too, because I'm going to – I want to hear your thoughts, guys, about Brock Osweiler here, because, you know, we'll see if he's got enough. I mean, we thought it would be kind of that last epic game between Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, but now it looks like maybe going a different direction here. So keep that in mind really quickly here. But, yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about the NFL's top five teams. JQ, I'll kick it off with you first and foremost, sir. What do you have for your top five going into the next week here coming up?
Not too much change at the top. New England's still up top, but I worry about them a little bit now, losing Amendola, because he was going to be the fill-in for Edelman, and they're saying that his injury may not be that serious, but until we see him back on the field, he has to have that knee ready and right in order to do the quick cuts in and out coming out of that slot. Carolina holding fast at number two and maybe really challenged New England for that number one spot. They just absolutely obliterated Washington this past week. Arizona. Big win over my Bengals. Bengals helped them out with some clock management, but definitely playing well. Carson Palmer just bombing with that wide receiver core. Cincinnati, holding in at four. I mean, they've lost two games, but they lost to a red-hot Houston team and to the Arizona team I just mentioned, so there's no shame necessarily in losing those two games. And then I'm going to slide Green Bay back in at number five. That was a big win for them to beat Minnesota and reclaim the NFC North lead for right now. So for me, those are the top five.
Good call. Rob Poore, what do you think, sir?
I'm going to start off with the defending Super Bowl champions with the Patriots still in the number one spot. The Panthers, as I mentioned a little while ago, they seem to be getting better as the season goes on this season. So that's pretty scary. Cam Newton has thrown for over 70% in the last two games. So that's pretty impressive. Like I said, he's even seemed to be getting better as the season going along, and he definitely should be mentioned in that MVP candidate category. I got Arizona at number three. I think if there's one team that can possibly beat Carolina in the NFC, it would be Arizona. I think Carson Palmer, believe it or not, is playing as good as any quarterback in the league this moment as well. You can definitely put him in that category as well. If Green Bay can get hot again, I have – maybe they can contend in the NFC as well, but Arizona, to me, in the three spot, looks like that one team that can possibly challenge Carolina. Number four, I have the Cincinnati Bengals. Even though they've lost the last 2 weeks, I still think they'll recover, as JQ mentioned. Going on the road to Arizona, playing them tough, only losing by three. Nothing to be ashamed of there. I still have them in the four spot. And Denver, at the number five spot. And I actually think, you know, I'm not sure how, you know, healthy Peyton Manning is going to be when he comes back. But I think this team can still be successful, not necessarily successful as far as winning the Super Bowl, but being a quality playoff team with their defense and Brock Osweiler at the quarterback position. I think he actually fits Gary Kubiak's offense a little bit better than Peyton. And so I think they can win with a solid ball control offense and with that defense. And still be effective. I have them in the five spot.
And just real fast, Dre, I don't know if you guys saw the report come out that Peyton was still at least 2 weeks away with that plantar fasciitis. So he's not only out for the New England game, he's out for the next game out there as well.
Yeah, I heard a little about that too, man. So like I said, it's a small sample size, guys, with Brock Osweiler, Rob. I like everything. You know, that's why I kind of agree with JQ as far as putting Green Bay at that five spot, only because, I mean, I know Brock, like you said, Rob, he probably fits what Gary Kubiak is trying to accomplish. I'm just not quite sure if he's totally ready. I mean, we could be watching, you know, kind of a situation where he's been sitting for a couple years and can pick up the reins. I want to get more games on him to kind of put them in that top spot. But they're, you know, probably like six, kind of outside looking in. That's just my perspective on that, too. But we'll see. All right, gentlemen, we're kind of halfway, 15 minutes in here. Let's talk about the next semifinalist going into the first year of eligibility for the Hall of Fame. You got Brett Favre. You got Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, and you got Terrell Owens. I like the first two gentlemen. I think Terrell's going to have to wait a little while just because of his antics. I think some writers are going to try to hold that against him. But talented player, no doubt. But what do you guys think about this, Rob? This is a pretty interesting class, if you will, sir.
Yeah, very interested. You know, Brett Favre, the classic guy that throws in a triple offense. Oh, he's got such great arm strength, got great confidence in his arm. But no, let me stop now.
Is that John Madden over there trying to pull a John Madden over there?
Any other quarterback throwing a triple coverage, oh, what a big dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I'm kidding a little bit, America, but, you know.
No, you ain't.
No, you're not.
Yeah, the truth is told. Always remember, the truth is told through a joke.
Hey, man, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously Brett Favre did throw in the triple coverage in a lot, but still had a great career, so I don't have a problem. You know, I'm being facetious but telling the truth at the same time, but I don't have a problem with him being a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame. Kurt Warner, and you know, Terrell Owens could be a question mark, but, you know, in his prime, he was definitely one of the better receivers in the league, and, you know, the only thing that you're missing in his career, you know, he came up short as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, but still a very good career, so I don't really have a problem with any of them. Kurt Warner, of course, guy going from arena football, turned out to be a very good NFL QB. And so I don't have a problem with any of these guys. And hopefully they get elected.
That's my quarterback, Rob. What you talking about, man? That's my quarterback, man.
No crybabies allowed.
He's a popcorn ready.
JQ, man, go ahead and talk about this, man, because, you know, Brett Favre could pretty much, you know, take on the whole team with one more time behind his back. Go ahead, man. I want to hear your thoughts about this.
Yeah, and I think I have two locks for this year in that five, and I think Brett Favre is definitely a lock. And I believe the Orlando Pace is definitely going to be a lot for what he did for that greatest show on turf and getting that Super Bowl ring. And you look at Kurt Warner, I mean, you talk about two franchises that were also Rams and the Cardinals and the Rams, and getting them to two Super Bowls is amazing, an amazing feat. It's going to be hard, I think, for him to get in the same year with Brett Favre because I don't know the last time you got two quarterbacks in the same class, but I would think that would be rare. And it's a good accomplishment for Terrell Owens, but – wide receivers generally always have a longer wait than everybody else, and he's also a semifinalist with Marvin Harrison, with Isaac Bruce, and with Torrey Holt. So I think they're going to divide some of that vote in there. So I think it's a good accomplishment for him to get into the semifinalists in his first year, but I can't see him making it just because of the good wide receivers, and it generally takes them so long. I mean, you look at the Tim Browns of the world and the Chris Carters having to wait, and the Andre Reeves of the world having to wait as well. So good accomplishment, but I don't think he makes it this year.
I agree. Good call. All right, gentlemen. Tyrod Taylor, Bills QB, played a pretty good game versus the Patriots. Didn't have enough near the end there. He should be able to play against the Chiefs this weekend. He had a little shoulder injury. Anything you want to talk about this, JQ?
I mean, I think that they have to do that. I mean, 75% of Tyrod Taylor is better than 100% of E.J. Manuel. And you're sitting there at that 5-5. I mean, it's just he's a bust. And you sitting there with 5-5, this is maybe a wild card play-in game or play-out game, how you want to look at it, playing against another 5-5 Chiefs team. So I don't think they really have much choice. They can't afford to send him right now against Kansas City. He has to play, and they have to lean on LeSean McCoy. And they talked about, and I read some articles, they have to find a way to get Sammy Watkins more involved in the game. I just don't think he's getting targeted enough. You moved up in the draft to go get him. I think – starting now, they have to make a conscious effort for it to be the LeSean McCoy, Charles Clay, Sammy Watkins show to kind of get that offense moving forward.
There it is. Rob, you mentioned the upstart Chiefs here. They've been playing well. So what about this in the Tyrod Taylor, sir?
Well, obviously, as JQ just mentioned, I mean, this is good news for the Bills. So for them to have any chance of beating the Chiefs, they're going to need Tyrod Taylor. I mean, the Chiefs have been on fire. And they continue. I can't see the Bills beating the Chiefs, even with Taylor. But if they're going to have any chance at winning, they're going to need him. I mean, the Chiefs have totally turned this thing around. playing outstanding football on both sides of the football. And, I mean, I can't see the Bills winning this game. I really can't.
Well, there's one thing. Wow. The Chiefs lost Kendrick West to a hamstring injury this past weekend. So it's interesting to see how well Spencer Ware can step in for him against that tough Buffalo front seven. I think that's the only chance Buffalo has if West can't play.
Wow. All right. We'll see, gentlemen. Should be interesting, to say the least. All right, fellas. Looks like the NFL finally got my call about trying to weaken the Panthers. defensive end Frank Alexander is going to be suspended for 1 year. Rob, any news about this, sir?
Well, it's obviously, a blow. I think Carolina will still be okay. They have good depth. Frank Alexander has been a solid role player, but, it's a huge blow. It looked like the Panthers, from my understanding, are going to go ahead and outright release him as a fifth-round pick for the Panthers. And but I think they'll still be able to manage here going forward.
JQ, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a piece of the machine, but when you have – Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis playing linebacker, and you got a rejuvenated Jared Allen, and you got Josh Norman playing probably the best corner of anybody this year. I think they can manage without him. It's just sad. I think this is his third violation, so he's suspended for a year.
Yeah.
So you hate to see a young man go through that. It's all about what we talked about earlier with Johnny Manziel, but this is much worse, being on his third violation. So it's a sad story, but I think the Panthers move forward. They found a way to keep winning.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, we're looking at about 8 minutes left in the show. Let's talk about some NFL predictions. And, gentlemen, I am not too confident going into the next week here with my Falcons, man. It's just been, I don't even know, no words here. That's the first game that Robert put on. Maybe Robert put this on to torture me. I don't know. Minnesota at Atlanta. Right about now.
The two teams are winning records. That's how we do it.
Yeah. That's two games.
I feel you. But right now, unless, Matt Ryan comes back and just, I don't know, I don't feel any confidence right now, man. Devontae Freeman's in the concussion protocol. I'm not sure we're going to get a status about him later on in the week. But right now, the way the Falcons are playing, you got to go with Minnesota. I'm just not confident at all. So I'll throw it to you. Rob, and your thoughts here.
Well, I ain't trying to burst nobody's bubbles, but I have to go with the Vikings in this game, even on the road. The Falcons are losing a lot of these games really close, and I think it's going to be another similar situation. I think the Vikings win a close game.
Take
care. Well, I'm just going to put it like this. Blaine Gabbert, rookie Jameis Winston, 41-year-old Hasselbeck. So now you got Minnesota coming in with a very good defense. Oh, and they also have Adrian Peterson as well. And Stephon Diggs has really turned some heads. I mean, don't forget about that guy. And like you said, with Devontae Freeman questionable with the concussion, I just don't see Atlanta really posing much of a threat to Minnesota unless Bridgewater makes big mistakes. If they can manage the game, I think Minnesota rolls.
Yeah, good call. All right, enough of that. Let's talk about the next big game here. we'll keep it moving here. And I got a call. This is my coworker here calling in to check in with us here. Stand by, fellas. Is this Marcus?
No, this is Corey.
Corey, how you doing, Corey?
What's going on, fool?
Hey, what's going on? How's it going?
Not much. I just want to throw out a prediction. Since you was throwing them out there, I want to throw out one. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say Carolina's going to choke game one playoffs, first game of playoffs.
First game of playoffs. Corey doing out a bold prediction.
Wow.
One playoff game is what they're going to get, and it's going to be folksy.
All right. We're going to remember this, Corey. What's today's date?
You know what I'm saying? If we're going to play, we're going to check it on the mattress.
Corey is happy. Corey, and by the way, who are they going to be playing? Who do you think the Panthers are going to be playing? They're going to get out first game here.
That's the question. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care. NFC South. Who really cares? I think we all suck. But if they get somebody good, I don't know.
Okay.
They're not going to play Green Bay. You know, they're not going to play, I don't know, you can't say the Cowboys. There's nothing else there, really. I don't know. You know, it's just Cincinnati, you know, it's one of those.
So where do the where do the Panthers finish the season? What is their record? Where do they finish up as?
Oh, I mean, without injuries, no injuries. I see, man, looking at a nice 13, and you know what I'm saying, they're gonna lose a couple games, but I think they'll pull off 13 Ws at least.
Yeah, well, they had 10.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna finish three more games. You're going to win at least three out of your next ones, your next six. So, what, you going to sit Cam week 17, sit your starters, you know. But, I don't know. I see 13 games they'll pull off, but they'll get to the playoffs and choke.
All right.
Corey making some predictions. He's laughing. He's thinking that we love it, man. We appreciate you listening to the show. Anything else you want to add before you jump off, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Cool. All right, that was Corey. Corey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to us, man. Keep it going.
Appreciate you calling, okay? Corey. All right, stay in touch. All right.
Yes, sir. Gentilly hot sauce, John Dick.
Gentilly. All right, I had a hot sauce with poor boy today, man.
Love it.
Gentilly hot sauces with the phone call, man.
Man. All right, that's all good. I know. I got you, JQ. All right, man, that was cool with Corey checking in. He was pretty happy, Rob, so we appreciate him listening to the show as well, too. All right, really quickly, we've got about 3 minutes, and we want to get to some shout-outs really quickly. And I just want to wrap this up here really quickly, guys. New England at Denver. Like you said, I still think it's going to be a tough game. And I think it's going to be a tougher game, but I do like New England. It's only because of the fact that I think that Bill Belichick has a good way of confusing, you know, younger quarterbacks. So that's why I think I'm going to give it a slight edge to New England. What about you, JQ?
I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Denver only because New England is struggling at the wide receiver position with injuries. And one thing Denver has is a great secondary. So they're going to be able to play man up and load that box against Blunt and maybe double-team Gronk the whole game and really bring some of that Buffalo pressure that really confused Brady last night. So I'm going to go with Denver. I understand that the young quarterback is going to have a problem, but I just think Denver at home gets it done.
All right. What about you, Rob?
I think New England wins in a close one. I think that's a very good point JQ's making, and exactly right. The Patriots are struggling at the wide receiver's position. But I think the difference in the game is going to be the quarterback position. Brock, I think, is an interesting prospect. But I think in a big game like this, I think you got to give the edge to Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, because I think that there'll be a turnover or something like that that may swing in the Patriots' favor. All right, Rob, you got 2 minutes. If you don't mind, do the fantasy shout-outs and set us up for the OT portion if you can, sir.
Real quick, our fantasy shout-outs. League number one, the biggest winner of the week, Bristol Bombers from Bristol, Connecticut. Aaron with a 140.32 win over the Beast Incarnate to the Beast Incarnate's 92.20. He's also in first place in the league at 10-1. And league number two, Boxcar Willie 02 from the New Orleans area with the biggest win of the week over the Black and Gold Patrol 129.22 to 60.60. Our fellow co-hosts here, JQ Ohio Players, in first place at 9-2. And in league number three, winning Aaron, also from Bristol, Connecticut, still in first place at 11-0. He also had the biggest win of the week, 148.48 to 22.10. Laughing at that
22.10
score.
Oh, that is ridiculous. That is ridiculous, man. Oh, my God.
I saw that, too. I had to go look. I was like, man, he had a lot of guys he didn't play. I was like, I don't know what he was thinking, but oh, well.
Wow.
In our fantasy basketball league, Will, with the biggest win of the week from Madison, Wisconsin, I'm So Heartened with a 7-1 win over Madhouse on Madison. And Saints Pelicans 23, Rhino from New Orleans 23-9 in first place. That's our fantasy shout-outs. Next week we're going to go back to our new normal schedule. We're going to be doing Monday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to be wrapping up the Monday Night Football and wrapping up the college football and NFL week for you on next week on Monday night. So you don't want to miss us. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Good night, people. We appreciate you tuning in. Thanks for the call, Corey. Gentilly hot sauce.
Take care.
Yes, always. Thanks for the love calling in. And stay classy, San Diego. And well, that is a
gentlemen,
ridiculous fantasy score.
Gentlemen, we are officially in the OT portion. Yeah, I don't know whether to laugh or like, whoa.
I wasn't going to say that, but JQ busted out with a laugh. So
I know, man. What else can I do? Keep it. I was like, what? 22 points happened, man.
22 points in, man. Some people got players with that score.
You're right.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So he got outscored by the defense.
So sorry. Didn't mean that. It's just one of the things. Really quickly, guys. I know we're going to – I got no words. I know we're going to talk about this later on if we have time, guys. But just really quickly, I know, JK, I know you're watching the Lakers and the Golden State game, but – why do the Golden State have the similar? Why do they have the similar uniforms to the Lakers? They look too similar, man. I'm not a fan of that, man. The colors look too similar. That's just me. Okay.
I love that city jersey, dude. I got one. I got a Nick Van Exel the city jersey. I love that jersey.
Can the Lakers stay within 80 in this game?
Probably not.
Oh, man.
Probably not. They can get doors blown off.
I'm not saying I don't like the jersey. I'm just saying I think it's too similar to the Lakers. I mean, that's what the Lakers kind of had, that similar color too. I know they're kind of dark and light, but I just think it's too.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure who the Lakers were, so I'm like, okay, and I figured it out. But that's just me. I'm just saying they should have went with a more of a lighter one. But anyway.
Well, you know what?
Okay.
We come from a generation where the home team used to wear white. That's what's messing you up, and I agree with that piece.
Yeah.
The home team should wear white.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress. I want to talk about two guys because we're talking about, you know, uniform changes, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that too because that's maybe it's a sign of the generation that we're in. But, all right, guys, we got to get through some college football predictions. I know there's a lot of we were talking about this in the pre-show, guys, about a lot of teams with a lot of openings are going to happen. But let's kick it off here. We're going to try to fly through this as quick as possible. We're kind of in that rivalry week, if we will, if I can say that correctly. So there's some good games we're going to highlight. Number 7, Baylor at number 19, TCU. TCU kind of had a little luster taken off of them. You know, Baylor's kind of doing their thing with kind of a backup quarterback. Rob, kick it off with you. What do you think happens with this game really quickly?
This is one I'm having a tough time picking, but I'm settling in on – Baylor going on the road and winning this game. You know, Boykin is battling some injuries. Looked like he will be ready to play. Even though Baylor's going on the road, I think they've been managing to win with the freshman quarterback. I like them going on the road and winning this game.
JQ.
Agreed. Boykin won't be 100%, and TCU lost a 3-year starter at center, and they lost their best wide receiver. Hard to win when you lose your center and your wide receiver. I'm going to go with Baylor. I like the bounce they've had the past couple of weeks with the running back and the freshman quarterback. I think Baylor wins.
Good deal. JQ, Ohio
no
State at Michigan.
There's no question.
At Michigan, Ezekiel Elliott. What's up, bro? You talk to the coaching staff. What? What's going to happen, sir?
I would never on any days. I don't care if we 1-10 ever pick that team up north to beat Ohio State. So I'm definitely going with Ohio State. I don't care what the records are. I'm going to choose Ohio State. Hopefully they give the ball to Elliott. And I've been talking about it all year. He's the engine that makes that offense run. They get too cute, and they got exposed last week. And I think now they go one of two ways. They either go totally into the tent, into the basement. I don't think that happens. I think you see the game plan they should have had last week, Ohio State.
Rob, don't hurt JQ's feelings too bad. What's going on, sir?
I'm picking the upset. I'm picking Michigan in the close one here. I think Jim Harbaugh I think he's super amped and excited about this game, his first one against Ohio State. I think he has the building rocking, and they pull off the upset over Ohio State. But
Woody Hayes,
you know, I do agree. That's crazy that Ezekiel Elliott only got 12 carries this past week. That was ridiculous.
That was ignorant.
That was ridiculous. I know you were pretty excited about that, JQ. We didn't want to get you too amped up, sir, but good deal. Okay. Whew, he's calmed down. All right. Number 18, Ole Miss at number 21, Mississippi State. Rob Ford, your thoughts, man?
I'm going to go Mississippi State. It's the Egg Bowl here. I'm going to go with them in a close game over Ole Miss. Ole Miss, even though they just spanked LSU, I think they have the tendency to have a big game, then they have a bad game, and I think that trend continues. And I think Ole Miss will edge them in this game in a close one. I mean, I'm sorry, Mississippi State wins in a close one.
I agree. I'm gonna go with Dak Prescott at home. Probably his last game. I'm going to go with Mississippi State as well.
There it is. We'll talk about his draft prospects too. Number 6, Notre Dame at number 9, Stanford. This is a pretty good game too, right next to the Ohio State Michigan game. JQ, what are your thoughts on this one, sir?
I'm really not impressed with Notre Dame's resume, so to speak, so far. And I think the committee hammered them a little bit now, dropped them down to 6, even though they didn't lose a game. I like Stanford's defense. I'm just going to go with Stanford. I think they win this game, and we go ahead and stop talking about Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame should have to join a conference at this point to be able to get into the playoff. That's just me, but that's, I guess, for a different time. I'm going to go with Stanford.
Rob Ford.
I totally agree with everything JQ said, including the conference thing. I think they should be in a conference. This independent foolishness needs to end. I think the NCAA should force them to join the conference. I think it's ridiculous. But I like Stanford as well. I think they'll be physical. I think Notre Dame is slightly overrated. Even though they only lost to Clemson by a point, I still think they're slightly overrated. I like Stanford.
I-N-D-E-P-E. Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. gentlemen. So, and I'm going to kick us off with Rob Ford because number 13, Florida State, and number 12, Florida. This is a pretty close team here, and we may be looking at the future coach for LSU, but that's a whole other conversation. So will he be distracted or will he keep his team focused on the task at hand? Rob Ford, what say you?
Well, I think Florida is a very underrated team. We just talked about a team being overrated. I think Florida is very underrated. And I don't think distracted or not distracted, I think Florida is the better team, and I think they win this game.
JQ.
Totally agree. Florida's defense and Florida run game, they keep the Florida State offense off the field and they control the ball with that run game. I like Florida in a close one, 6 points.
Wow. Good call. All right. Let's keep moving here. We got about, I'd say about like 7 minutes here. Number 3, Oklahoma at number 11, Oklahoma State. Rob, you already know where I'm going with this because I still don't trust Bob Stoops, man, but that's just me. They'll probably pull it off because, you know, something crazy like that. But, Rob, what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, I think Oklahoma's one of the hottest and better teams in the country right now. And I think they get it done on the road at Oklahoma State. And I think they win this game. Mayfield is playing outstanding. No. Yeah, they got a pass rush going right now on the defensive side of the ball. And I think they're playing playing as good as anybody in the country right now.
JQ.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go conditionally with this one because I think it really hinges on Baker Mayfield. He got knocked out of that game against TCU with concussion. And if he's 100%, I'm going to go with Oklahoma. But if he's still feeling the effects of that concussion, he's the difference in this game. If he's not the Baker Mayfield before this last week, then Oklahoma State wins. But if he's the Baker Mayfield that we saw before the TCU game before he got hurt, then Oklahoma wins. So it's really on Baker Mayfield and his health.
I totally agree with
that,
too.
Good call, JQ. All right, college playoff top 4. This is going to be interesting, right? What do you think about this, Rob? I'll kick it off with you, sir. I know we're going to segue into Michigan State. Are they on the outside looking in with a pretty impressive win? I'm sorry, JQ, to kind of bring it back up, but we'll talk about that. Segue that into that too, Rob, as we talk about the college playoff top 4. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, interesting. Right now we will have Clemson against Iowa down in Miami in the Orange Bowl. We have Alabama against Oklahoma. In Dallas in the Cotton Bowl. So those are the 4 teams right now. I think Iowa's had a very weak schedule, just my personal opinion. I still don't trust that team. I think they're slightly overrated. If Iowa and Michigan State both wins this weekend, they'll play in the Big Ten title game. And as I always say, things will play themselves out, and the winner of that Big Ten title game will probably be in the top 4. I think Michigan State is the better team, and I think they'll find a way to beat Iowa and probably make it into the top 4. But as of now, Iowa is undefeated, and so they're in the top 4 as we speak. But if Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma win out, I don't have any problem with those teams in there.
Hold on real quick. Looks like I got a caller. Looks like it's Kurt LaFrentz calling you right now, Ron, talking he doesn't like your thoughts about the league schedule. Okay, go ahead. JQ, your thoughts, man.
But I totally agree with everything that Rob just said, and I'm just going to throw one other team in there. If Notre Dame loses to Stanford, Stanford wins, and they go in and they win that Pac-12 championship game, don't be surprised if they sneak a Stanford in over Oklahoma State or even Iowa, even if Iowa goes undefeated, because I don't think, like Rob said, they give Iowa a whole lot of respect, and they're going to overvalue that win over Notre Dame. And the fact they beat USC too, who's underachieving as well. So that's just a dark horse for me right there. But everything that Rob said, I agree with 100%.
The only problem with Stanford is they got two losses, so it's going to be hard for them to jump some of those teams.
Yeah, but I don't trust anything about the committee.
Michigan State, can they win the national championship, JQ?
Shit, no. No.
Wow, we already know where his allegiances are lying too, but maybe I thought he'd been shit.
No, I just don't think they can with Connor Cook being hurt. I just don't think they have enough. I think they were hyped up for Ohio State, but I don't think they can run through a Clemson and say an Alabama to win a championship. I just don't, honestly.
4 minutes, guys. Okay, this is really big. We're going to let Rob have his moment here. A lot of chatter about LSU and Les Miles, and I guess the question is, has he been treated fairly? You hear the word on the street, there's a booster that can literally write a check for $15 million or whatever and kind of write it off and go in sunset. And then Jimbo Fisher, is he the next guy that you want, Rob? Because that's the word on the street. They're hearing that he's the guy. They're already, like, prepared. Go ahead, Rob. On you, man.
Well, a couple of things. Whether or not he's being treated fairly or not, I'm going to say yes and no. I don't think Les Miles is a very good football coach, but I think he's a good man. I think he's represented LSU in a classy fashion. He's been a great recruiter, but he's just not a good football coach. Regardless of who he brings in as offensive coordinator, he's still running a 1970s offense with an I formation, and I think that's what it comes down to. He has done a tremendous job representing LSU. He's a classy guy. But probably a lot of this stuff that's getting out in the media probably shouldn't have gotten out in the media. But I think when you talk about a school that's got the most NFL players in the pros, the state of Louisiana per capita has more players in the NFL than any other state in the country. So there's so much talent in your backyard. The program should be a lot better than where it is. I mean, we should be at least trading wins with Alabama instead of losing 5 in a row to Alabama with the talent, not only with the state producers, but what's at the school. And so Jimbo Fisher, I wouldn't have a problem with him. I think you got to call somebody like a John Gruden. I think you have to call somebody in that's good with quarterbacks. I wouldn't even be opposed to somebody like a Chip Kelly, somebody like that as well. I think you have to bring somebody in that's really innovative when it comes to offensive football and bring you in a top-notch defensive coordinator.
Shaky, you got it really quick. You got 30 seconds, sir.
Yeah, I think some of it has been unfair because there are some teams that would kill to have the one national championship. You look at Frank Beamer, I've never won one, Virginia Tech, and he's getting carried off the field. And I think that Les Miles has the best winning percentage of any LSU coach in the past century, even better than Nick Saban. So, I mean, I don't quite understand it. Look at no further than San Francisco and Jim Harbaugh. Be careful what you wish for when you have somebody ahead of you there. And just think, LSU was number 2 3 weeks ago in the college football playoffs, so they were there competing.
Well, my thing is this. If you're going to be happy with 7-3, 8-3, 9-3 every year, keep Les Miles. If you want to win national championships, compete for national championships on a regular basis, you got to get rid of him.
Wow. All right. Go ahead, go ahead. You got to wrap it up.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, JQ.
Go for it.
No, I was just going to say, we got about a minute, so you better wrap it up.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Appreciate the call-in. That's hilarious, talking about Carolina blowing it in the first round. We appreciate all the love. Like we said earlier, we'll be back next Monday during the Monday Night Football game. Please download the podcast and keep the calls coming in. That's a very important part of the show. We appreciate it. Love you guys. Talk to you next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Rob Ford.
Happy Thanksgiving, people. Make sure y'all work out on Friday morning.
Yeah, right. That ain't happening.
Oh, man. Black Friday.
Join us next Monday night.
appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. To be the man, you got to beat the man. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure sharing the field of radio airwaves with you guys. We appreciate that so, so well. Next week, we'll keep going. Talk to you soon, guys.
All right, appreciate it, man. I'll see you later.